let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven.
Aren't you glad the Lord has let you have a mind to come to His house to worship Him in spirit and in truth? What a privileged people we are. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord this morning. Play some more of that, brethren. Let's sing a little bit more of that, if you will. Play it. Play it. Oh, praise the Lord. The King, God bless you. Good to see you, man. God bless you. Good to see you. God bless you. Good to see you, honey. God bless you. It's good to see you. God bless you. Well, open the flood gates of heaven. Say hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Let's look at our prayer request this morning, if you will. Tasha Wheaton from Canada says, please pray for my mother. She's been suffering from back trouble for a long time and is a lot of pain. Please pray that the Lord would touch her, give her a healing in her body. Thank you for your prayer. So let's remember those folks today as we pray. Sister Barbara Gerber says, I'm a sister in Southeast Louisiana. I listen to your services regularly. Please remember me in prayer because I'm having a bad attack of gout in my right knee. May God bless. So we certainly want to remember that prayer request this morning, that the Lord would give her a healing touch in her body. How many of you know He's more than able? Amen. The McFarlands want us to pray for the granddaughter of a friend of ours who will be going for testing at Cincinnati Children's Hospital in Ohio. Also, please pray for Mary Jane Dugan, who will be undergoing chemotherapy. So we want to remember those needs as we pray today. Certainly want to bring you greetings from Sister Shirley Buchanan, Brother Keith, and all of the Buchanans. They said they wanted to really thank all of you for your prayers, your concern during Brother Harold's passing, and they want to just thank you. I also want to remember the Horniak family in prayer. Kim passed away. Want to remember the Horniak family in prayer, and Brother Larry Miller, his mother passed away. We want to remember that family in prayer, that the Lord would just be mindful of these families during this time. Sarah Moore says to please pray for Sister Joy, who has a severe sinus infection, and Brother Ron, who isn't feeling good. So let's remember those needs as we pray today. Estera Johnson wants us to continue to remember her younger sister, Magdalena Carter, in prayer, going for more treatments every day this week. Also, Sister Estera wants us to remember her in prayer. Also, that the Lord would just give her strength in her body. We want to pray for Sarah Yance. She is at home sick this morning, needs a touch from the Lord. We want to pray for Shirley Hathaway. She asked me to have her church pray for her. She has lived 15 years beyond what the doctors had told her she would possibly live. The doctors are amazed that she has lived this long. She's a Pentecostal Christian, loves the Lord, has many medical problems. They're just asking that we would, Sister Lana Jones sends that in, just to continue to remember her in prayer as we pray today. I want to pray for R.L. Large, broke his back and jawbone in a car accident. They're asking that we would remember him in prayer. I want to remember Sister Laura Wacko. She has an abscess on her tonsil, and her throat is very swollen. She would appreciate your prayer, so let's remember that need. Brother Randy Walton wants us to pray for Brittany. That's his daughter. She's expecting a child. The doctors have put her on bed rest, and they're asking that we would remember her in prayer. Now, Sister Maria Sponsia, where is she at today? Raise your hand. God bless you. She has been absent for a long, long time, but she's here in the service with us today. God bless you, Sister Maria. And this is her praise testimony. She says, today I have a song in my heart that speaks of God's faithfulness. He never left my side during a 5-hour surgery. I never felt alone. He guided 3 young surgeons through complications during and after surgery. I just want to praise Him and tell Him how much I love Him. Also, I want to thank you for your lifting me up in your prayers, for the cards, for your calls and the visits. With all my love, I want to thank you for the love that you have shown me. Let's give the Lord a good hand clap of praise for that this morning. Amen. Let's sing a little bit more of Let It Rain. If you have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, Brother Joel Johnson, I want you to come get ready to lead us to the Lord this morning on behalf of these prayer requests. We'll invite the presence of our Lord into the service. But how many of you would just like for the Lord to rain on your soul this morning? He alone knows what you have need of, and He alone is able to supply that need. Do you believe that with all your heart? Yeah. Amen. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let's just bow our head this morning and take these needs to the Lord.
Heavenly Father, I'm just so thankful to be in your house this morning, Lord, and so grateful for a source that we can bring all these needs to, Lord, and a lot of serious needs, Lord, and the one that just stands out the most to me this morning, Lord, is the child, Lord, going for those tests, Lord, to that specialty hospital up there, Lord, and each one of us, Lord, that are parents, God, can put ourselves in that situation. If that was our child, Lord, we'd want everybody that we knew, Lord, just crying out to you and asking God, just please do something special for that child and for that family, Lord. And I pray that this will be just a terrible test, Lord, that's just going to be turned into a testimony, Lord, a praise of what you can do, Lord. A lot of these needs this morning, Lord, some of my friends at work, Lord, they've got real serious situations in their family. One of them's got a child, Lord, that you're the only hope that child has right now, Lord. And I pray, God, you'll just move in that situation, Lord, and all these needs, Lord, and the testimony, Sister Maria, we're glad to have her here this morning. And we're thankful, Lord, that we can see your hand at work, Lord. And when we bring these needs to you, Lord, we can look around and see results, Lord, of the prayers that's went up, Lord, and things that you've done just right here in our congregation. We ask you one more time, Lord, to move. Just meet our needs, Lord, according to your perfect will. And we'll give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Joel. God bless you. Amen. Appreciate Brother Joel sitting in for us last night, leading the song service. He just does a phenomenal job, and we certainly appreciate him. Brother Terry, you done a wonderful job here last night also. Did you appreciate the word of the Lord? Wasn't it good? Amen. Somebody marveled at Brother Terry, said, you done such a super job. You preached the entire seven seals in one sermon. That's an amazing, that's a miracle right there. For anybody to do that. But the word of the Lord was good. Amen. Let's sing this song this morning. Give me Jesus. You can have everything else, because it's all going to burn up anyway. But give me Jesus. Aren't you glad you got him this morning? Give him one more big hand clap of praise if you love him. In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus.
You can have all this world.
Yes, you can.
Oh,
what's the best way to start a day?
Now give me
praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. Ushers, have you all received the offering yet? You haven't? Well, you better come do that. I'm surprised that you'd forget to do that. I know you're more surprised that I forgot to have you do that. Don't look at me like that. Amen. We've got some folks visiting with us today, and the service is going to be giving us a song. Sister Grace Stiles from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Brother George and Sister Grace with their two children, their two boys, are visiting with us in the service today. Where would they be? Would you raise your hand? Help me out back here. Right back here. Give those folks a nice hand this morning. God bless you. And I believe Sister Grace, is she the one that sings? Will you come be getting ready to sing for us, if you will, at this time? Also, Sister Lisa Bain from Brother Dutch Scott's Church down in Adairsville, Georgia, I believe is where they're from. She's going to come and give us a song, so she'll come onto the platform and be getting ready to sing after Sister Grace sings. We'll go right on into the service. Amen. Let's just sing that chorus one more time as they make preparations to sing. In the morning when I rise, I'll take Jesus every time, won't you? Somebody say praise the Lord. My Lord, you sound like you froze up this morning. Somebody say praise the Lord. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Lead it for me, buddy.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with cares, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries that only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. call to take his life to a world where wrong seems right. What could be joy shall fill our hearts. Then we shall bow with humble adoration and there proclaim, oh God, how great thou art. It sings my song, my Savior calls to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. It sings my song, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. This is my song, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art.
Amen. Certainly appreciate our songs this morning, don't we? Amen. Let me make this announcement just real quickly this morning. Brother Melvin, Sister Rebecca Lynch want to announce the engagement. This will be put on the bulletin board if it's not already. But they want to announce the engagement, or actually on the screen, of their son, Joseph Andrew Lynch. He's going to be getting married to Rachel Ann Bain. That's the daughter of Larry and Lisa Bain from Adairsville, Georgia. Says, Becky and I never had any daughters, but the Lord has blessed us with some wonderful daughters-in-laws, and we're so happy that He has blessed us yet with another wonderful daughter. So that announcement will be forthcoming, I'm certain. Our old buddy's here today. We don't want to say our old buddy, our brother in the Lord, Brother Tim Burnett, but he is an old buddy. And we appreciate him so very much. He's going to come and sing and minister for you today. How many of you are going to be praying for him, expecting from the Lord today? Let's give the Lord another good hand clap of praise as you stand with me today. Brother Tim, you got him geared up over here? All right. Brother Tim Burnett from down in South Carolina. Give him a good hand as he comes today.
But if them guys don't mind, I want to sing through this. But Ronnie can't stand me to do that, can he? But no, my voice ain't too. It ain't never been good. But I've been sick, and they sung me a little bit too much last night, Brother Daniels. And but I'll try to get this one out. Thank you, Brother Tim. You can be seated for a minute. Y'all pray for my voice now. I stood on the banks of a wide raging river, trusting I'd get across. I made my way through some valleys and deserts, believing I'd never get lost. I stood at the foot of what felt like Mount Everest, knowing I've strength for the climb. Through every trial and every temptation, one thing sure every time. Over and over again and again, God is faithful. Over and over again and again through it all, He makes me able. Stand. I've got no hesitation. God does what He said He will do. I simply say every battle has taught me there's nothing He won't help me through. Why should I dwell on the hardships and the struggles when I look just beyond them? I see, oh, the way this will end is with great celebration. Deep in my heart I believe. Over and over, again and again, God is faithful. Over and over again and again through it all, He makes me able. Stand and survive. I couldn't win. Jesus is with me. I claim the victory over and over again. That's about all I got. There ain't no more down in there. Amen. But I got a lot left to preach. Amen. Ain't He good to us? Do you love Him with all your heart? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I don't know if y'all have the, I gave you the scripture, but I am changing it, brothers. And you're probably used to me doing things like that, but that'll be all right too. Go to Revelation 5 with me if you would, just for scripture reading. But it is good to be back in the house of the Lord. We're very grateful that we are here with you today. It's been a while, but Jesus is still the same, ain't He?
Amen.
Amen. So you pray for us. I didn't know if I was going to get snowed out or snowed in or what. But I had to get up yesterday morning about 5 o'clock and go to Chattanooga for some business there, and then back at Brother Daniel's yesterday evening, and then got home late or this morning or whenever it was, and got back up at 5 and come up here. So, but I feel pretty good. If I get my voice going, I'd be all right. I'd be all right. Amen. You can't stop a 25-year-old man. Amen. Brother Bam says in a quote, if I could read this to you real quickly. He said, oh my, how the church ought to be waving its hands to glory. Thanking God, just thanking God any minute that the change could come.
Our bodies will have to be changed. He says we've got to have a different kind of body so you can be caught in the air to receive the promise. That's what the church is waiting for now. The real, true church. Every manifestation, what he did to Abraham, he has done to his seed after him, leaving just one thing out. That's the rapture for the people today. And that's what we're looking for. Amen. That's what we're looking for today. In Revelations 5, if you have that scripture for me, I want to read it real quickly and we'll go right into some great things I've got for you today. Verse 8, 9, and 10. He says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are prayers of the saints. And I like this. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood of out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. May the Lord add his blessings to the word as you're seated. As I go to one more scripture and read, you don't have to turn there, but as I read from 1 Peter 2, 5, 9, and 10, 1 Peter 2, if I can find it myself, I got the wrong scripture down. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained, verse 8, I'm sorry, go to verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him. Listen to this. Show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's the very body of Jesus Christ that he's speaking to. As we begin to think about this, this is a very, very important scripture. I want to speak on how God likes his worship, a true worship to God. Just people think that, oh, I jumped and shouted and spoke in tongues, and you know how I am. I'm Pentecostal up one side and down the other, so I love that. But on the other side, you get so many folks thinking that if they just do that, then that's all right. That's just the worship, see. But there's more worship to that. Brother Bam said true worship comes from the soul. He said true worship comes from down deep with inside of you. See, it's nothing on the outside, but it's something that starts down on the inside, but yet it works its way to the outside. So you've got so many folks, you know, they jump, shout, scream, and holler, and I like that, and that's all they want to do. But then you got some that just want to sit on a pew. If you could get them two together, you'd be all right. Is that right? So if we could get them together, we'd be all right. If we can get it to start way down deep into the soul, then we believe that everything is going to be all right. So we can come to a true worship of God. Now, I believe that that's where the body of Christ is today, is at the very place. We have been worshiping God for what, 40-something years since Brother Brown has been gone? Something like that, 45, 46 years Brother Brown has been off the scene, and maybe closer to 50 now. And we have been worshiping God, but is not there a time that we have to have a true worship? Brother Branham separated worship and true worship. Worship's just people going to the house of God and doing something, this, that, and the other. But true worship is greater than that. True worship is a higher order. True worship is a higher order. And Brother Branham says there is a higher order today for man. He says when God speaks to man, he has faith. Listen to this. Excuse me. He has faith. And he has ambition. And he has a purpose. When God speaks to a man, he gives him a purpose. When God speaks to a man, he gives him ambition. When God speaks to a man, he gives him faith to do and to accomplish what God has sent him to do. So if God's brought you out of the sin, out of the darkness, out of denominationalism, whatever it is, then he's brought you into this for a purpose, for a reason, that you could have the faith, that you could come back unto him, that you could show forth the worship that God wants you to show forth. Listen, friend, Jesus said in the scripture there, he said, they come forth and they worship me in vain. Brother Bam, I read this morning back there, Brother Bam said, they had true worship. Brother Bam said, they had true worship, but they didn't understand they were worshiping him in vain. He said, you wash the pots and the sepulchers and you do all that. You do it under a formality of true worship. He said, but you don't even know how to worship God. He said, people don't even know how to worship God in this hour. You got some that go so far this way, some that go far this way, especially in the ranks of this message. Come on, church. Especially around the ranks of this message. Either they're dead or they're so far that way, it's pathetic. Brother Bram said, then the scripture tells us, Brother Bram said, do not have a church that's cold and formal. That's what he said. I told my church, I said, you ever get cold and formal, I quit. I'm not going to pastor a church that's cold and formal. I ain't going to do it. Because Peter says you're lively stones. So he's speaking to different people than just church people. He's speaking to a peculiar people. He's speaking to a people that God has designated to worship Him. That God has ordained to worship Him. Can you say amen? So if God sends you and God speaks to you, then He gives you faith to accomplish or to achieve the very purpose that God has put in your life for you to achieve. Is that right? If there's a calling upon your life, there's many people that's called. The Bible said gifts and callings are about with repentance. Is that right? So there's many people that, for instance, they go do a job. And I'll get to worship. Just listen closely now. We'll try to tie it in. You get people that gets a job, you know. Many people just get a job. For the majority of the people in the world today, they get a job because it's based upon the money that they're going to make. That's fine, good and dandy. That's all right if people want to do that. But there's a difference from getting a job or a calling. Same thing going to church. Some people just go to church because they've been taught to go to church. Some people just go to church, especially in the message, you know. We've been taught, you know, that's the duty, let's go to church. And I believe going to church. Is that right? But we've come to the place, Brother Terry, where we just come to the place where we just, well, I've done my duty today. But see, there's more to it than that. You understand what I'm saying? It isn't just going to church. It's so much deeper than that. So much deeper than just going to church. That's a part of it. But remember, Christians go to church. So if people say to themselves, Christians stay at home. What Brother Bram say? Christians go to church. Now I know, for instance, on the internet, there's some that can't get to church. I'm not talking about them kind. I'm talking about them kind don't believe in preachers. Now notice this. When God calls him, he gives him faith to accomplish or to achieve the purpose that's in his life. God calls him to do that, whatever it is. He calls us to be, notice this, he also calls us to be in the church of God. Now, not to just be in the church as a villain, but to be in the church of God. What is the church of God? It's the body. Amen. Is that right? And if he brings us to this place, and I'm going to show you something now. I don't know if you've ever seen, the way I'm going to do something, the way I'm, you know. Well, it's just different. A little different probably. I don't know if you've caught this, but I've caught something in the scriptures, and I want to bring it out to you. And I'm not going to hold you long because I got to get back to Anderson preach tonight. But I want you to notice as this worship, Jesus tells this little woman at the well one day, and I'm not going to have time to go in everything I want to go into because of time. But Jesus tells this woman one day in St. John 4 verse 5, the Bible says he cometh to a city called Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being worried with his journey, sat on the well. It's about the sixth hour. And I'm going to skip a lot of this so I can get to the scripture here. And we know the woman comes up and asks Jesus asked her for a drink of water. We find out that this woman says, you know, we have no demons. What are you talking to me for? Jesus said, woman, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for a drink. And she says, well, you ain't have nothing to draw with. But Jesus was calling her to a different position than what she had been in. Now, she couldn't come to the well by herself or with other people because of her life. But Jesus was here to call her from that. Now, Brother Brown brings worship into this picture here, and Jesus talks about it in just a second. And as Jesus goes on a little bit further, she says, let me find here the scripture. Jesus answered her, says, whoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water I give him shall be in him. Notice the scriptures, in him a well of living water springing up to into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have none. Jesus said, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five, and whom thou hast with now is not thine. We know the scripture. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, and now that you shall neither worship in this manner nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation of Jews. But the hour cometh and is now.
Amen. Amen.
But Jesus says the hour cometh and is now when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said unto her, I know that the Messiah cometh when he call, which is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us these things. So she has been taught a certain part of the message. She's been taught a certain part of the message. Is that right? But Jesus is trying to bring her from the part that she maybe has stopped at. He's trying to bring her up to a higher order. She believed in worship. She'd been taught worship in the mountain at Jerusalem, and true worshipers worship. And she'd been taught that. But Jesus said, there's a greater worship than that. Jesus said, the hour cometh and is now. Now notice this. She said to him, I know that when the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, when he comes, he'll tell us these things. Jesus said to her, I am he that speaketh to thee. So now he begins to make himself known. Now notice this, the woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city and said, come see a man who told me all the things I ever did. Jesus didn't tell her but one thing. But she knew that there was something different standing in front of her than what she had been used to standing in front of. She knew that something was different with the worship that Jesus was trying to bring her to. She knew that this wasn't the same old rabbi that used to come and talk to her. She knew that the one that talked to her last week wasn't. This was something different. But now Jesus began to compel her. Give me a drink, woman. And she says, sir, we have no dealings. We cannot be doing this now. Don't let nobody see. And Jesus said, if you knew who I was, you would ask me of a drink of water. And she said, but sir, thou hast no pail to draw with. Jesus said, what I give, you won't have to come back to this for that. She said, well, I've been told that we can worship in these mountains. So she's been taught the message. She's been taught to go to church. She's been taught to do the right things. But yet she just wasn't up to her par of worship. But Jesus is now trying to bring her to it now. We'll try to get far as get bringing to the body of Christ for today if we get that far. But notice this, as Jesus begins to bring her up to this, she begins to realize, I perceive, sir, thou art a prophet. I perceive that thou art, you're not like the one I talked to the other day. Jesus said, I am he that speaketh to thee. The Bible says she throws her water pot down, or put her water pot down, ran into the city and said, come see a man that told me all I've ever done. So she's now recognizing what he has, what he's talking about, what he's telling me, there's something to it. Is that right? Brother Branham says, God hates powerless religion. Now listen to this, how Brother Branham brings power into worship. People don't understand that, Brother Terry. People don't understand that worship, when you true worship from the very heart and soul, it brings something into the atmosphere. That's why Brother Bam said you have the power to change the atmosphere. He said you can create an atmosphere. So if we come into a church and it's dead, cold, informal, if you can get one person to begin to create an atmosphere,
then you can get another one to be pulled up under. Another one over here be pulled up under. Maybe one back here be pulled. Why? Because there's one creating. Surely there's somebody within these few hundreds of people that can create an atmosphere that we can worship under true worship. Remember, said God hates powerless religion. He said it's got to have power in it. It's got to have sincerity in it. Now notice this quote. He said sincerity brings power. Sincerity. In other words, being sincere with God. Sincerity. Notice this now. Sincerity brings power. Sincerity brings true worship. Not a form of worship, but genuine power and worship to know that you pass from death unto life. So this message didn't bring us out of what we was in to bring us into something else that was dead. I'll never understand Methodist message people coming out of the Methodist denomination. You're in the same garbage. Oh, Brother Tim called the message garbage. I didn't do that. You didn't hear what I said. What difference is it from coming out of a Methodist Baptist Church of God? They're good as people as we are. Well, I know we message people love to preach on them. You know why we message people love to preach on denomination? Because we stand off of message people. Boy, y'all quiet today. That's all right, but I'm going home. But message people, especially preachers, they don't want to preach on message churches. Friends, that's where the devil's at. That's where the devil's at. Brother Bam said a good Holy Ghost filled church is a place for, he said He's talking, two different places. He said a powerless church, he said is a good place for hangout for the devil. You mean to tell me church is a good hangout for devils? Yeah, that's what your prophet said. Why? Because the devil doesn't want the true sons and daughters of God to realize there's a greater form of worship than what we used to be in, friends. There's a greater form of worship than just the hold your taters, sit down, don't jump up and leave, just hold on a minute, let me finish. There's a greater form of worship than believing Malachi 4, 5, and 6. We come out of Pentecost and out of all of that, believing that that's what we needed. You can't do away with it. You've got to have Malachi 4, 5, and 6. We have Malachi 4, 5, and 6. But now there is a greater worship. Now I know somebody's going to hear this and say, Tim, don't believe in Malachi 4, 5, and 6. No, you're alive. I didn't say that. I said there's a greater form of worship now. Hello? When that little woman, Brother Terry, came to Jesus, when she heard of this little Jesus maybe down in the convention, and this ruler comes down and gets Jesus one day. This little woman, she's had an issue of blood all of her life. That's the Bible, right? She's for 8 to 12 years, something like that, I think it was. She's had an issue of blood. So she's had problems for years and years and years. Is that right? And she gets a headwind one day. Hey, this man that we hear about called Jesus, he's been preaching the convention right down the road here. And he's coming up today because there's a ruler that's asking him to come up here to pray for his daughter. And she hears a commotion outside. And she makes her way on the outside and she looks. This is in Matthew 9 or something like that, I believe it was. We'll read it in a minute. And she makes her way. I want you to catch the scriptures here, what Jesus was bringing her. Listen, friends. Jesus wasn't put here. Brother Branham wasn't put here for you and I to stay in our same condition. Jesus wasn't put here for the people to stay in the same condition they was. Brother Branham, God didn't send Brother Branham for you and I to stay in the same form or condition we was. That's exactly right. This woman in Matthew 9:20, she hears the commotion and she begins to make her way maybe to the front porch. The Bible says, tells us that she has spent, can we go there and read that? Go there with me just for a second if you don't mind. Matthew 9, I think it is. I want to show you something right there. It's just so wonderful and so powerful, this little scripture here. Speaking of a true worship of God. Go with me to 18. Verse 18. And while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler, worshipped him. Now here's this ruler worshipped him, the Bible just said. Saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Now he's on his way to a ruler's house where he said his daughter was dead. Now catch this. Brother Bam says, here stands Jesus. And they're going up the hill to give at the Passover. He said they're going up there to worship. And they don't even realize that the very one they should have been worshiping was standing there. He said they've got their palm trees, their little leaves, all this holy, holy, holy. And they're going right by him and he's standing there desiring to be worshipped. But yet they don't recognize who he is. Oh my goodness, I wonder if that's the way a lot of us has done today. Have we got such of a formality in our churches today around this message that we don't realize who Jesus Christ is anymore? Huh? Have we got to that today, Brother Terry? But no, all we want to do is say, we believe God sent a prophet. There's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. I believe God sent a prophet. I was born in 1965. My daddy come into message, preaching this message in 1968. Get this. Get this right here. A woman preacher gave my daddy a tape trying to do God a service without his will in 1968. He was preaching Pentecost in 1965, 67. First part of 68. End part of 67. This is going to blow your mind. It's tickled me to death, yeah. Happened Friday. This woman preacher give daddy a tape. They're trying to do God a service without his will. So daddy gets the tape and goes back to the church and gets some of the brothers and says, listen, that's where he goes hog wild over that tape. Starts preaching this message from this woman preacher. This woman preacher, she's going to be 86 years old this week. She's still preaching. Now she's got a little dementia. She gets to preach maybe one or two services a month. She's in bad shape. And she's been a friend to the families since the early 60s. And she says, and she'd always come over and visit Daddy, you know, and she's, my brother man, you know, I know how you feel about preachers women. And Daddy say, ah, sis, we're going to be all right, you know. And she would sing a song and she could sing, man. She just, but you know how them Pentecostals sing? They really worship God, see. And even though, you know, we disagree and all that, you know, I ain't got time to argue with them people. Brother Bam said, let them go on. Well, that's fine. I tell you right now, you're going to hell if you do it. Brother Bam said, let them go. Boy, that's what he said. And then at times she said, well, if I knew, man, your buddy was going to go that crazy over that tape, I'd never let him listen to that tape. Well, time went on and on and on, and I've been pastoring the church now for 13 years. And I've still been friends, but not hadn't seen her in years. So I go in the bank Friday, and there's a woman in there that I know, and she knows me. And it's this woman that gave Daddy the tape is her daughter-in-law. And she says, I'm standing at the counter. She come out the back room. She says, Tim Brady, are you doing here? I said, I'm trying to get some money out of your bank account, but they won't give it to me. And she got tickled. Can I talk to you? And I went over. I said, yes. So we went over in the side of the corner of the bank. We were sitting there talking. She says, she knows me and Tony. We all sang, you know, and stuff like that. And she says, first thing she says, now, Brother Tim.
Come on now.
We know how you feel about women preachers. I said, ma'am. I says, we ain't going to talk about that today.
Yeah.
And she says, Can I talk to you as a minister to minister?
Uh-oh.
I said, I guess you can. What was I going to do, jump up and run? She says, we would like for y'all to come sing.
Uh-oh.
Would you come sing? I says, I sure will.
Yeah. Okay.
She said, you mean you would come sing at our church even though we disagree on women preachers? I said, I don't care how much you preach. I said, just give me my guitar and get behind your pulpit. That's all I need. I don't need but one opportunity behind that pulpit. And it's the very one that gave Daddy a tape of this message.
Praise the Lord.
After 46 years, I still might get one of them out of it. I thought that's pretty ironic. I go out in the truck and Tony said, what took you so long? I said, that woman preacher had me cornered in there. He said, you straighten her out. I said, no. Nah. I said, matter of fact, we're going to sing at her church. He said, you mean what? I said, yeah, we're going to sing at her church. Now I know a lot of message people are probably going to cut me off right now. Probably going to put me out of the message right now. But see, that's why I'm so glad that God put me in it, because they can't take me out of it. I thought we was in the saving business. And all y'all claim to be saved. So I have no need to try to save y'all. I'm trying to get those out there that don't know the message. I'm trying to get those saved. I don't care if they've been preaching 40 years or a woman preacher or not. It don't matter to me. I tell you what, them people talk about God and how much they love God and worship God. They'll show a lot of message churches up. Like I said, I'm going home about 45 minutes. But true worship. Here comes this lady and she hears a noise out there. And she says, I think I'm going to try to make my way out there to see what's going on. She makes her way out there. Now notice this. She makes her way out there. And I'm going to hit this real hard and quick. And she hears the commotion and she's coming up and the Bible says let's read it right there so I can remember all it. And behold, a woman was, Jesus rode and followed him and so disciples. And behold, a woman in the 20th verse was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him. You'll also notice in Luke 8 that the Bible speaks of this again, and they specifically pointed out she came from behind him. There's a reason that she does this now. Disease with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, now notice this, Brother Terry, she begins to say this within herself. She's not doing it outwardly. She's needing something from God. She's desiring a different worship. But she just don't know where to go get it. The Bible said people want to see Jesus, but they don't know where he's at. But yet we got, I don't know how many message people in the land today. And Brother Bob says they don't know where he's at. That's sad that they don't know where Jesus is. We claim to be Jesus. We claim to be the Christ, the anointed word. This woman comes out and she's needing something. She's desiring something. And the Bible says she has an issue of blood. Excuse me. So she is weak. She can't run. She can't move fast. She can't do much, Sister Janet. She's weak. When blood is lost from the body, the life drains out of the body. Is that right? Oh my, this is so powerful right here. But notice, she makes her way up to Jesus. Now, does anybody in here, anybody have a shawl? You know what a shawl is? Four-corner shawl.
Nobody in this church has a shawl. All Pentecostal people have shawls. I got a small church and got 200 Pentecostal shawls. Do you have a shawl, anybody? Is that a four-corner shawl? I tell you, it's going to be different today. I'll give this back to you when I get through. Here's a four-corner shawl. We got one Pentecostal woman here. Back in the old days, the customs of these rabbis would be to wear a, what they call a prayer shawl, which is called a tallit. It's very familiar, you know. You can buy them today. They hundreds and hundreds up to thousands of dollars if you get the real ones. But yet they have what they call a prayer shawl. You say, Brother Tim, what has this got to do with anything? Well, if you hold your taters, I'll show you. This woman comes out to meet Jesus Christ, and she realizes there's something different about him. She realizes she needs something. The Bible says she's wasted all of her living. Everything she's made in her prior years and saved up, she cannot. She has nothing no more. The Bible says on physicians. But the problem was she's never been to this physician. But she didn't need her living to go to this physician. Now listen closely. The rabbis of that day take these shawls and they wore them in a couple of different ways. And they wore them over their shoulder. Like this. And on the corners of these right here, they would have the tassels such as this. But on the four corners of these prayer shawls, you can go on the internet and pull it up and look at it. They have many, several different kinds. There would be long tassels with balls on the end, on the four corners. Now the Bible teaches the Bible in Numbers 5 speaks of it, Numbers 15, Leviticus 15, I think, and then Scripture speaks of this, get these shawls and you put the fringes upon it. Calls it fringes, this Sister Janet. It says you do this so the people will remember. That's what the Bible says. So the people will remember where I brought them from. So when they would look at these rabbis, and a lot of people wore them, but there's a difference in them that a lot of people don't realize. They would wear these rabbis would wear these shawls up over them like that as they would walk around town. And the fringes would hang. Well, the fringes was constantly out in the open, so the fringes was constantly being seen to make God's people that they would realize where they was when they were in bondage. God says, I did this and I brought you out. I did this. I've done this for you. This. So put fringes on the end of the shawl that you will remember. Jesus wore one of these shawls. But here's the significant part of it. It's called a prayer shawl. Now I want you to watch this in worship. Jesus was trying to bring these people to a higher order of worship. Jesus was doing everything he could to bring these people to a higher order of worship. They have been taught we worship in the mountains, we worship here, we worship at Jerusalem, we do this. But Jesus said there's coming a day and the hour cometh and is now. That you know not what ye worship. Scripture. But the hour is now. What's he doing? He's trying to elevate, Sister Janet. He's trying to elevate their form of worship. They have worshipped him in vain and they don't even realize they've done it. Oh my. In the Bible, notice how this woman comes in, according to Scripture, this woman comes in from behind Jesus. Luke 8 says the same thing. It says she comes in from behind Jesus. She doesn't go right up to his face because they can't do that. They can't come up to their face. So she comes in from behind Jesus so that they won't recognize. But see, what she knew, she needed something. The rest of them didn't know what she needed.
So this woman is, she's tired. She's lost blood. She is just weak in her body. Oh my. Scripture teaches us that she is unclean. If you run it back to Numbers and Leviticus, it says she's unclean. Is that scripture? She's unclean. She basically, Brother Terry, has a plague. So in the Bible of the Old Testament, I just read it this morning. It says, if a man or woman, if somebody is unclean, if they have a loss of blood, whatever it is. I'm not going deep into it because such of a mixed crowd, but you get the picture. The Bible says that you put them without the camp. So let's look at a bigger picture. Will that be out just for a minute? Now hold your tongues. Now this is a square one. I'm going to put it on this way. Remember the four corners? Most of them is long and oblong like that. But notice, she's unclean. She's weak. She can't get her breath, no doubt, because she's tired. She's lost great amounts of blood within 12 years. She's went to several physicians. And she don't know what to do, but she hears of a man called Jesus. A little Pentecostal message this morning. She hears of a man called Jesus, and she hears the commotion, and she begins to go outside and look. And maybe her family tries to get her not to go. You need to stay in the bed. You know, you're a little sick this morning. You know, you really don't need to go to church today. You know, mom, dad, you're a little under the weather today, and you really need to stay at home. You don't need to be around people. The best thing that I believe, that's where they need to be. You know how people will use excuses? Well, I don't feel good. But on Monday morning, they're right at work. Or at Old Navy. Or Wally World. And you see them in line and you say, and they spot you first and they don't know you've seen them. And you're trying to, you know, they're trying to hide from you so you can't get to them and say, why you wasn't at church yesterday? You thought you were sick? Of course, I know there's nobody here that does that. But this woman, no doubt, Brother Baum tells it in several different stories and ways. Maybe her family said, Mama, you don't need to do this. You've wasted your living. We've sent you to all these great doctors and all these physicians. And they're not to help you. Mama, there's nothing this man can do. But see what? There was something inside of her soul. See, here's the difference of worship and true worship. There was something from within her that was coming out. Her family couldn't hide it. Her family couldn't keep it in her. There was something coming out. And she looks and she spots this man called Jesus coming up the road. And the Bible said there were people around him, thrown in him, which is multitude. So multitudes means thousands of people around this man called Jesus. And he had, notice this now, if you'll understand, if you go back in the culture of the Jew, you'll find they wore these cloths in several different ways. But one of the ways they would bring them when they went outside was above their head. And they would cover themselves like this. Now, I know this looks funny, don't it? But I really don't care right now. But they would wear them like this. Other times, they would wear them like this. But that meant something. There was a significant meaning in this. She goes out and makes a way. And she comes in from behind Jesus. The Bible says she touches the hem of his garment. That doesn't mean a hem like on my pants. A lot of people speak of the hem that's down on the end of your jeans or pants or something of that nature. That's not what it is. The hem was a representation of this fringe on the corner. Was a reminder of where she was at. And God brought her out of bondage spiritually. Now the seed he's talking about. The Bible says she looks upon this people, and the Bible mentions this. Now listen to this right here. And touched him, and she said within herself, notice, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Not I shall be made. He ain't even went to the cross yet. He ain't even died and rose yet. But yet she has a portion of revelation. If I may but touch his garment, the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. Not made whole. Being made whole is you're going to be well eventually. Well, I shall be made. You might be made well from this time or to another. She said, I shall be whole. She knew something was in this man. Now watch her. Watch Jesus what he's doing. And he's got this prayer shawl upon him because he is a rabbi. He is a priest. He's a good bit different kind of priest than the one she's normally probably had laid hands on her. But this one had never touched her yet. The Bible says, for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garments, I shall be made whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter. Now notice what first thing he calls her. She comes in from behind him. First of all, she ain't even supposed to come to him. She is an unclean woman. She has been put on the outside of the camp for years. She can't go to church. She can't go to worship meetings. She can't go to conventions. She can't go nowhere. She's been confined because of her plague. But now she risks everything. You cannot come up to a rabbi. That's why she was coming in from behind him. But Jesus turned himself and said, daughter, realizes. Jesus recognized who she is right at the very first point. Glory to God. Daughter, be of good comfort. Now hold your taters. Thy faith hath made thee whole. So right that instant, the Bible says, thy faith, so she had a certain element of faith, hath made thee whole. And all she has done now was touch this fringe, which was a reminder. But there's a significant meaning. Jesus. Now watch out. Watch her. Watch what Jesus did. Also, no priest, no rabbi is supposed to touch. The Bible says in Leviticus and Numbers, if a man, a priest, rabbi, whoever, touches an unclean person, a dead person, anything that has an issue of blood, leaving the flesh, the Bible calls it, he is unclean also. And she's in herself. Can you imagine the demons was in her mind telling her, you don't need to do this. You know the scriptures. Amen. You know you cannot go to that man. You know this is the devil speaking to her. You know you can't do that. The scrolls teach us you're unclean. You put outside the camp. You can't even go to church. You can't have no family. You can't have no friends. You can't have nothing. And she's been this way for 12 years now. I imagine she's bat out of her mind. She's probably come to the place she's out of her mind. She's been confined. Oh my. And this priest is not supposed to touch anything. So this woman, this issue of blood woman comes that's hanging on the four corners of her garment. Notice this right here. Each and also on the hem, on the fringes of this, on the fringes that's on the borders, the corners of this four-cornered prayer shawl of a real prayer shawl, there are scripture scrolls. Notice this, most of them are made with several different colors. Some of them's red and blue. Some of them's different colors. Mostly of them was blue because blue was a royalty color. And this is one they would wear because it's a royal blue showing who Jesus was. Showing his royalty. Now watch the scriptures here just for a moment of time if we could. This woman is suffering. This woman needs something. Most likely she can't even hardly move.
used to have a lady that come to our church back when Daddy was pastoring. She was in the family. And cancer struck her. As cancer struck her, she would come as often as she still could come to church and sit on a pew. You're talking about Pentecostal. She came from the old Pentecostal, come right out of that, right into the message, following this message. I mean 100%. And she didn't lose her Pentecost when she come into the message. And man, you talking about jumping, shouting. This lady, this sister got cancer. She married Daddy's brother. She got cancer. And she would absolutely bleed from her body. I mean, days at a time. Constantly issue of blood. And it reminded me of this lady in the scriptures. And she was so weak, we would literally have to pick her up out of the car. And pick her up and take her and set her on the pew. We'd have to put things on the pews so the pews wouldn't get messed up. I mean, this cancer would eat her up. But she'd still find a way to get to church.
Come on now.
And I've seen the Spirit of God hit this lady service after service. And she would basically, you would never know she had cancer. I mean, the issue of blood would be gone. She would shout, sing, run, jump, holler, speak in tongues, shout again, jump again, worship the Lord. It was coming from the depths of her soul. And she would get through for 30 and 40 minutes of that and sit back down and the blood just start pouring. Till the Lord took her home. And I thought about this lady here. This lady now comes to the place in her life, she begins to risk everything. She ain't supposed to go outside. She ain't supposed to go around people. She's unclean. She's a plague. But she knows she needs to worship the Lord. She knows she needs something done deep inside of her. And she goes out and she comes behind Jesus and touches the fringe upon his garment. And there's scrolls and scriptures written up all these corners of these garments. But see, the very place she needed to be. Now notice this right here. At this specific time, Jesus was wearing this prayer shawl above his head. Because the representation of this was more than a rabbi.
Oh my.
Now listen. When Jesus would put this above his head. Now, many people did this. But when Jesus took this and put this on his head, she comes from behind him and touches the fringe. History says, as a type, she was coming to the temple. This was a representation of the temple once it was up on their head. When they would take it off, it wasn't the temple representation. But once Jesus put this up on his head and covered his head, she realized, hey, this man is different.
Think about it.
She comes unto, notice where she goes, brother, sister. She comes unto Jesus, the temple. The very place that she needs to come to. She's risking everything. She was supposed to be put to death. She's supposed to be put to death. But she risked everything. And she makes her way out into the public. She can't go there. She's unclean. But she comes from behind him. But Jesus recognizes her to us as daughter. Daughter. Thy faith that made thee whole, and the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus come to notice what Jesus does, Jesus just turns around and says, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Now notice this right here. Everything about this woman was unclean. She'd been out of church for 12 years. She couldn't come to the meetings. The very place she needed to be, the devil kept her from. That's the problem today. People don't realize it ain't just laying out of church. Come on, church. It ain't just laying out of church. It ain't that I'll make it up. You don't make it up. It ain't, I can't miss much in one service, but one leads to two. Two leads to three. Three leads to four. And before you know it, you're gone. And you find yourself in the condition of this woman. You find yourself where you don't know how to worship anymore. We get cold and indifferent and we don't know how to worship. You know, well, I remember when I used to worship, I guess what happened?
Good preaching. Yes, sir. That's true.
Did God move? No. And that's what's happening in this message, Sister Janet. I mean, they don't know. But see, when you come under this, you're coming unto his temple. Touching the fringes of his garment. Where the scroll, the word. The scroll, the word is written within this, upon this. And she reaches up and touches the word. She touches the hem, the very fringe that the word was wrote on. Where was it at? It was in the temple. And Jesus was bringing her to this different type and form of worship, showing Jesus a daughter that faith has made thee whole. And Jesus turns right around and he goes about his business up to Jairus' house. Is that the Bible? Because Jairus says, here's my daughter lay dead. Jesus comes unto her and says, she is sleeping. Jesus could not use the word because she was unclean, which would make him unclean. But they couldn't understand. They couldn't understand she was just sleeping. Jesus had to come down in their language. Because he was forbidden to go into her. Because she's a dead woman. But Jesus said she's not dead. What was it? Now he left the woman, comes up to Jairus' daughter, and he goes in and he gets the unbelievers out. The temple now, if I tear it up, I'll buy you a new one. The temple now comes up to this woman. The temple, the very one that needed to go to her, cannot use and say she's dead. Oh, she's just sleeping. My. Because this would make him unclean. So Jesus trying to bring this woman and Jairus and them, trying to bring them up to where he is. What is the message people around this message doing, friend? They're real true ministers of God. They're trying to bring the people up. They're trying to bring the people up. Why won't the people listen to the God called ministers? All they're doing is trying to bring the people to a greater form of worship. They're not beating, banging, and hitting over the head. They don't want to do that. They want the people to worship God. Oh, listen, I got a few more minutes on this. Listen, this talent, Brother Terry, this talent is also known. This is powerful. This talent is also known as wings. I'll give you a scripture. This talent, Brother Gene, is known as wings in the Bible. It's a prayer shawl. It becomes a temple. It becomes wings. It's become the word. It's a reminder of where we used to be. It's a reminder where I used to be in a dead church and now I'm in a live church. It's a reminder I used to be in sin. I'm no longer in sin. I used to be in bondage. I'm no longer in bondage. I used to be this, that, and the other. I'm not none of that. Why? Because I'm under his temple. I'm under his wings. And his word is in me. Times in the Bible, the very word corner. 76 times the word corner is referred to in the Bible as wings. Psalm 17:18 says, keep me as the apple of thine eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Yeah.
Why was it Brother Branham thought it was a significant thing when them Jews in 1947-48 made the very statement, we will fly home on wings of eagles? And they got all in them great big jet airplanes, what we call, they considered it wings of eagles. Brother Branham said it took them back to their homeland. And I'm telling you, church, if the body of Christ comes up under the wings of Almighty God, El Shaddai, it'll soar us right to our homeland. You've got to come under the wings of El Shaddai. You've got to come under the wings of God. You've got to come where the Word is.
Thank you, sis. 76 times the very corner of a fringe is known as wings. Then it must matter to God. It must have a significant meaning in the form of worshiping God. This woman with an issue of blood comes out of this house and comes to the temple of God. How many times has she maybe had a minister or a rabbi to come pray for her? The Bible doesn't record it. But how many times has she had someone to come minister to her? After all, she couldn't be out in the people with the people because she's plagued. Brother Terry, there's something inside of us. She wanted to worship God. She wanted to come and worship the Lord, but she couldn't come to the house of God. She couldn't come where the people was, but she risked her life. She could have been stoned, Brother Tim, but she risked her life to go to this man called Jesus. She risked her life, everything she was, to come under the wings of the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen! I wonder how many of us have risked our life to come to this message. There's people around the world that risk their life to come under the wings of El Shaddai. There's many people around this world that come under, that risk their life to say they follow this Jesus Christ called the Christ. Just to be able to get a true form of worship. Just to be able to worship God in trueness. That's why it's so important, brothers and sisters, to worship God in true form. I'm not talking about jumping up and down, running, screaming, hollering every service. If God wants it, then so be it. But when God comes down to speak to that soul of that individual, when he begins to speak to that soul, something begins to penetrate on the inside of that person. Brother Brown said, that's when they go to Paul Satan. He said, what their heart begins to beat. He said, they're feeling something. I just heard a scene where Brother Brown said the other day. He watched the 20th century prophet. Brother Brown said, now this lady standing there, he said, don't be nervous. He said, what you feel won't hurt you. He said, don't be nervous. He said, now I know you feel what's standing right here. He said, don't be nervous. He said, it won't hurt you. It's here to help you. That's what this word's all about. That's what church is all about. That's what unity's all about. That's what love is all about. When we come together, if we'll come under the wings of Him and let Him lead us and let Him guide us and let Him direct us under the true form of worship that God wants us to be worshiped in, then we will raise and be elevated in the very position that God desires us to be in. Paul says, when he talked about pressing on toward the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ, Paul said, I do not reach backwards, but I reach forward. He talked about, Brother Terry, running that race with patience. You remember Paul speaking about that? He was in a race and he was running. He says, and I press toward the mark. He said in one scripture, he said, not reaching back, Sister Janet. Remember the scriptures? Not reaching back, but I reach forward. What's he doing? He's bringing it to an elevation. He's going forward, not backward. Seems like we've been going backwards for years. But it's high time we go forward. It's high time we go forward. True worship of God. True worship. God wants you to jump, shout, scream, holler, whatever wants. And if it's God, then do it. God wants you to sit there and cry, do it. But I know my God don't like people sitting there being a knot on the log. That woman with an issue of blood, Jesus didn't call her out of the house. Jesus didn't say, disciple, go get her. Jesus didn't do that. She went out there with her own self. She risked her own life. And she went out there, even she was unclean, and went to the rabbi of the temple of God. And risked her life to be healed. And she goes up, Brother Terry, and she touches.
Yeah. Glory.
You run that back, Brother Joe. She went up there and she took what she needed. Nobody took it in the house to her. Brother Gene, nobody went there and said, come out here, I got something I want to give you. No, she went out there and got it and took what she needed. And when you come to church, if you don't take what you need, you'll go home just the way you came in. People come to church thinking the preacher's going to give them something. You can't come to church expecting the preacher to give you something. You got to come to church and take something. You read the book of John in Revelations there, 10, 8 through 11. And when John goes up and goes up to the one that's set up on the throne, and the Bible doesn't say he goes up to the throne and he gives him the book. The Bible doesn't say he goes up there and the one that sets up on the throne says, here, give me your book. Here. No. The Bible says he reaches down and got the book and took it. He took the book out of the ones, out of the hands that sat upon the throne. Why? This was a representation of a higher order of worship. My name was in it. Your name was in it. Brother Brown said that was a type of the bride, of the bride. He said Zion always speaks of the bride, and John was a type of the bride. John goes up there and says, can I have the book? No. He went up there and took the book. Why? It was John's name was in it. What did he tell him? John, come up hither. I want to show you something, John. Can you come up hither? Showing that what was speaking to him was elevated above him. So John had to rise up. John could no longer sit on the sidelines and hope something happened to him. Well, I hope I go and I hope the Lord heals me today. You will never get it like that. I sure hope I get something from church today. What did you hope, Blake? Well, I started to get up and shout. Did you start or break? I've been to church and people says, boy, I felt the Holy Ghost. I started to shout. Well, what happened? I ain't never understood that, brother. I started to shout. Well, if the starter on your car don't crank, you take it to shop and get it fixed. You know what you're doing at church? I'm fixing your starter. Your starter don't work? Well, you just come to church. There's some fine preachers here, a lot better preachers here than I'll ever be. Brother Donnie, all these guys, all of them out preach me in it, they can fix your starter. Then next week you can say, I started to shout, I started to raise my hand, but it just wouldn't go up. That's what you got a brain for, to tell your brain, to tell your hand to go up. Hello? Is that right? I'm not fussing to be mean. I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. If you want something from God, friends, you got to take it. This woman with the issue of blood went out there and took what she needed. She goes out there weak. She goes out there confused. She goes out there thinking she might lose her life. And she comes back with eternal life. And on top of that, her issue of blood is stopped. But she got a 2-for-1 deal, didn't she? She got a 2-for-1 deal. Glory to God. If I wasn't so tired, I could shout. I know what some of you are thinking. Just give me a few minutes. I'll do mine before I leave. She takes what she needs. Because she comes up under the wings of El Shaddai. And Jesus lifts her up into a different atmosphere. A true worship of God. Brother Bram said, God's bringing his people to true worship. They're sitting there all day, holy, holy, holy. Notice this, I'm closing. Holy, holy, holy. In Revelation 8:1, the Bible says, in silence, what's in heaven?
Yes, sir.
Wasn't nobody worshiping him? I don't know if I need to go and say this or not.
Preach it, brother. All right.
Nobody's worshiping. Silence. You know why they wasn't worshiping? He wasn't there. He's done moved. He's done moved. Because the 420 elders, the beast, everybody. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God, holy, holy. Constantly worship them. And then the seventh seal. Silence. About the space of high fire. He's moved.
Praise the Lord. Help us, Jesus.
Where's he at today?
Glory.
Notice he had come down. Put one foot on land, one foot on sea. Revelation 10:1. Declare that time would be no more. Time and eternity now blending back in together. When? And then John takes the book. The body takes the book. John takes the book out of the one that sits upon the hands. And John now is elevated and moved up to a different form of worship. Goodness. How many loves him? There's 613. Listen to this in the closing. There's 613 laws of God in the first 5 books of the Bible. 613 laws of God in the first 5 books of the Bible. There's 365, thou shalt not. There's 248, thou shalt. Amen. 613 commands of God. It's amazing, isn't it? God bringing us from all them 613 laws
yes, sir.
To grace.
Yes, sir. Think about it. Praise the Lord.
Worship. Praise. Honor.
Yes, sir.
Thanksgiving.
Yes, sir.
That's what we come for.
That's true. Amen.
That's what we come for. If you don't come for that, well, what you come for? We come to worship.
Amen.
We come to give praise. We come to give Him thanks. Listen, church, whatever you need, why don't you take it? Listen to this, and we'll close with this. We'll read you a couple of scriptures. To the chief musician. When he fled from Saul in the cave, be merciful unto me, David speaking. O God, be merciful unto me. Musicians, if you'd come, please. For my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. Unto these calamities be past. He that dwelleth, David again. Boy, David was inspired, boy. He was inspired. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Notice where David is dwelling. It's under the shadow of his wings. I will say, O Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. God, in Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the ominous pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And under his wings thou shalt trust, his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. For behold, the day cometh and shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day of the cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. You shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. You shall tread down. Notice this is what ye shall do. Because see, we always want to pinpoint Malachi 4 to only the prophet. This is talking about a body, which includes the prophet.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You shall tread down the wicked. They shall be ashes under your feet. Then why do we want to go home sick today? Why don't you walk on that demon? Why don't we walk on that plague, that disease, whatever it is in your life, that problem, that thing, that chain that's binding us? Why don't we walk on it? Ye shall tread down the wicked. They shall be ashes under your feet. In the day I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servants, which I commanded unto him in Horeb and all Israel, with the statutes and judgment. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet with the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest they come and smite the earth with a curse. You don't have to go home sick. You don't have to go home with problems. God can fix them all. Because that's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. Let's stand together. Let's give Jesus Christ a clap of praise today. Ain't he wonderful today?
Amen.
Ain't he good to us today?
Amen.
Has he been good to you?
Amen.
He's brought us a long way.
Amen.
And the Bible says he will see us through the end.
I believe it.
Says ye can do all things through Christ.
Right.
See, it's not you anyway, it's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh my. That's the hope of glory, Brother Harry. It's Jesus Christ in you. Notice, he didn't say it's Jesus Christ only in Brother Branham, or only in Luther, or only in Wesley, or only in, no, only on. It's Jesus Christ in you. You as any who has come to Christ, born of the Holy Spirit, baptized, and the life of God is in you. That's who you is. That's who you is. You can do all things in Christ. How many believes that?
Amen.
With all your heart.
Amen.
How many believes you really can do that?
Amen.
You really can. Brother Harry, you play and sing something for us? Let's say a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, what a worship that you was trying to get the people to come to. What a worship, Lord, that would bring us to an elevation, Lord, that would be so far past our way of thinking, so far beyond our way of worshiping, Lord. Not just our hands raised, not just our singing and praising. Lord, I believe that. I welcome all of that, Lord. Lord, a worship that comes so far beneath our mentality, Lord, that we can't even understand it, but it's in Jesus Christ. Lord, let us be as that little woman with an issue of blood that comes to the temple of God and takes what we have need of. Lord, ones that's sick and diseased and plagues, and Lord, these requests that Brother Joel was praying over earlier, the little one he was speaking of, and the different ones. Lord God, You're the God of heaven and earth. You're the creator. You're the author. You're the finisher. They ain't a devil that can stand in your way. Mighty God, I pray that You would touch each one of them, Lord, as they've already prayed and laid hands upon them. But Lord, may our faith be confirmed. May, Lord, Your word, Lord, just go out now as we've spoke what's on our heart today. And may we come to a greater elevation of worship, Lord. A true worship, Brother Branham called it. That would bring us back to Thee, Lord. Oh, we thank You, Lord, for churches such as this. Lord, that welcomes worship, that welcomes praise, that Lord's not a scared, not scared to get in there with a preacher and work and worship. And Lord, a church of God that's going forth. One that's mounted on the wings of eagles. One that's traveling, Lord Jesus, a moving God with a moving bride. If we'll notice, oh Lord, You're always moving. That's why Brother Branham said it's a circle of life. He took the ring of predestination. Brother Branham said, here's a ring. It doesn't have a no ending, no beginning, no ending. He takes it back to Melchizedek there. He says, now I'm glad I know who my father and mother is. He goes back to Melchizedek because Melchizedek had no father, no mother, no beginning, no ending. He said, that's the life of God. And I thought about that, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I thought about that. I thought, Lord, in that great ring there, predestination, Brother Bible said, He's placed it upon our fingers. Amen. Now we wear that ring of predestination. Touch Your people, Lord. Heal them whatever they have need of, God. If there's any lost, God, may You save, we pray, Father. That's more important than anything. Grant it, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I thought about the circle of life. And that ring, Brother Bam said, God's placed upon your hand as a ring of predestination. There's no beginnings, Brother Harry, and there's no endings. And I know everybody here has heard of the Lion King. I've been down there and took my grandbaby, and I went and took her to see that, you know, that thing down there where they do that play and all that stuff. And one of the big things that's with the Lion King is the circle of life. I wonder why they chose that. That's what they really pushed that in the play down there, Brother Harry. It's the circle of life. And if you've ever seen the movie there, my grandbaby, she's watched it. And when they walk out upon, when that one little lion, I can't keep up with them names, you know, that one lion, he comes up and he looks over and everything's beautiful and green. Listen, y'all don't have to act like you ain't ever seen it. It ain't gonna hurt you. Everybody can take these things and pick out the bad. Why don't you pick out the good in it? He looks over that ledge there, and it's all green and beautiful. And I thought, God, that's paradise. And then the scene, it goes on some more. Then the scene changes, and it comes over, and that old mean one, he comes out, and he stands up there like he's king. And it's burnt over. It's just as black and ashed as it could be. And at the end of the movie, what's the little one's name? Simba. One person out of all y'all knew that. When Simba raised up, notice, this was his inheritance. See, here's the thing. I could take all them videos and preach a message off every one of them. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Every one of them. I've looked at them. You're talking about something powerful, Brother Harry, in them movies. But see, then we got the Methodist Baptist Church of God. They want to bring out the bad. That's because they can't see the good in it. You keep looking for the bad, you'll constantly find the bad. You look for the bad in church, Satan will show you all the bad. But he's going to put blinders on you so you won't see all the good. And I promise you, friends, in Jesus Christ, they ain't no bad. It's all good. And at the end of that picture, Simba's growed up. Who is it? It's his son. He's grown up and he walks out there, Brother Harry, and he's proud. And it shows the same picture again. And it's all beautiful and green in paradise. And they say, the circle of life. It come right back. That's all God has done. In this big circle of life. We started out in the Garden of Eden. Sin came in. Satan come in. That mean old lion. Ain't it something how Disney makes a movie and it goes right with Scripture? And they don't even realize it. Winds up, Satan has control of it. Brother Bram said he's had it for 7,000 years. He said, but God's fixing to take it back. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Bram says, the body of Jesus Christ is the continuation of Jesus Christ. Brother Bram said, Jesus Christ whooped Satan on Calvary. He said, the bride of Jesus Christ will whoop Satan in this hour. What he said. That's what he said. When it all comes back around in this great big old circle of life, it'll be you standing there in this big circle of life. It's beautiful. It's beautiful, Brother Harry, in the paradise of God. Brother Bram said, we'll wind right back up in the Garden of Eden. Brother Harry, that's where it started. That'll make a Presbyterian shout. Sing that, let the worshipers arise, Brother Harry, if you don't mind, buddy.
Father, I see that you.
Let's worship it just before we go.
Lying in the sand, I wanna be standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come. Let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I surrender my all. saints of every nation are awakening to sing from our hearts to come to heaven. Oh, hear our praises ring. This is a song, a song to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. Surrendering my all, I'm giving to you, Lord. I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing.
You need home. Listen, friends, don't go home the same way we come in. What good did it do us if we do that? What good does it do us if we do that? Let's sing this, Brother Harry. I was on the mountain.
Oh, he said, come to me. Of all your sins repenting, and I will lead you out where you can't see, and I'm so glad he found me, with love he bound me, put his arms around me, and he led him, no, never.
second verse. Listen now.
We'll say it now. I'm gonna love him forever. I will stray from him. No, never.
He's the dearest friend the soul boy ever had.
One day, because he says, I must needs have to go by Samaria. Well, I must have needs to go by Johnson City. I must have needs to go by Anderson. And he came by. And what a life-changing experience. What a life-changing experience. I'm going to tell you, that's why Brother Bram said you can't come to meet Jesus and turn around and leave it the same way you met him. But Brother Tim, I make mistakes. I don't care. How many times you get up and keep on going? It's not a sin to fall. It's a sin to stay there. If you fall, get up, keep on going. I fell again. Get up, keep on going. Oh, church is too close to the end. The bride's fixing to go home. She's fixing to have that body change. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Give Jesus a clap of praise just before we go. Hallelujah. Ain't he good?
Yes.
Enjoyed being with you today. May you just keep running.
Yes.
Says there's a hurdle in front of me, jump it. Ever runner. What's the big racer, the bicycle race itself? Lance Armstrong. Lance Armstrong says he was a quitter. He was in this deal and he quit. His eyes just can't take it no more. I'm just through.
Lance Armstrong says, you know, I felt that way too when I was diagnosed with brain cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And he had five different kind of cancers in his body. And then he says, but I thought I'd run another race. And after this, he's won 5 Tour de France's. I probably said that wrong, but you get the picture. After he was diagnosed with all of his problems and troubles, Brother Harry. Give up to die. It was over. He's won 5 more races. Surely we can go one more day. And then one more day. You win by going one day at a time. You don't look for by what's going to happen next week. Well, I don't know if I'll make it through the next week. It don't matter. He's in control. But if you get up in the morning and go through tomorrow, then you get up Tuesday and go through that day. That's the way you make it. If we don't do it that way, we can't make it. But with Jesus, we can. How many believes that? Amen.
Amen. God bless you, saints. Good to see every one of you once again. Appreciate you. Appreciate Brother Donnie asking me to come fill in. He asked me to fill in last night, and I said, I've got to be somewhere else. And
Brother Terry, I heard you done an awesome job, buddy. I heard you preach the heels off. I did get home late last night, and I said, because I was afraid of all the snow, I says, well, they might cancel. I sure don't want to ride that far, you know, they cancel. So I pulled it up and went through some of it. Didn't have time. I had to get some sleep. And at the end of it, I'm going to tell you, y'all was doing some worshiping. Y'all ought to be ashamed of yourself acting like that. Terry, what was you doing on the pulpit? You was enjoying it, wasn't you, buddy? That's the way I like it. But I heard you done a good job. And what I seen you did a fine job. But God's good, ain't he? But we certainly enjoyed being with you today. May you just pray for us. Pray for Brother Donnie and them coming back and the different ones that's gone. I think some from here is over Brother Daniel's at the meeting there. So pray for their safe travel home. Got to see about, there's probably a little over 300 there at the meeting yesterday. Had a real good time. Real little singing there. Young people just worshiped and had a good time. Got ready to go. I dismissed. It was about an hour and a half and got ready to go and Blair and dismissed. And about three quarters of them went out and I'm standing in the very back corner. And then they were still singing. Them on probably 50, 60 still worshiping. Well, it wasn't about, I stood there for 30 minutes and worshiping with them. And about 30 minutes, about another half of them came back in. Well, I knew I had to be here, so I had to sneak out. And Justin called me at 12:30 when he got in. He said, it lasted then until 9 o'clock. They were still going at it. So they had a wonderful time of worship. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, see, them young people worshiping God. It makes me happy to see them young people up there worshiping God when it's true, friends, when it's true. God bless you. Appreciate you. May the Lord just give you your heart's desire. We appreciate you. Love you. And may God just come take us home soon. All to go in a body change. Is that what you're looking for? Every one of us trusting in that. That's our only hope, brother sis. Without that, see, hope in Scripture's confidence. I've got confidence in God. He will take care of his part. God just helped me take care of my part. Amen. And he'll let us. He'll help us do it. Amen. God bless you, Heavenly Father. What a wonderful time it's been. You forgive me, Lord. May they forgive me for holding them a little bit too long. But Lord, you get up here and you get to feeling good. And it's just hard to close. Father, we pray that something from this service, from these words spoken, will go home with them today. Lord, something that's been said, may they take it with them and let them recall it back to their hearts and their minds and their souls. May they receive their healing, Lord. May every problem, Lord, everything they may face day in and day out, may you touch them, Father, we pray, and give them faith, Lord, as we all stand together, Father. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen. I want y'all to continue to be praying for a brother and a sister in my church. It's Carolyn and Rayford Burdett. They've been through a lot. And they in the hospital again. She called me, matter of fact, this morning when I walk in the office here. So you pray. Carolyn and Rayford Burdett is my uncle, my aunt and uncle. May God just bless them. And one testimony, my wife got so sick this week, Brother Harry. I have never seen my wife this sick. Tuesday, barely a little bit, she was feeling pretty good. Wednesday, wasn't too bad. Thursday, she got sick. I said, go to the doctor. No, I ain't going to do it. Friday, she called me. She texted me at work. She said, Tim, I'm sick. You got to do something. So I start praying for her. And I get home about a little later lunch, and she's in the bed, and she's just a dish rag. So I get her up, and I said, I'll take her to the doctor. I mean, she's got to have something. And she wasn't going to get to go to the singing with me. So I made plans to leave at 5 o'clock because I had to go to Chattanooga and then back down to Atlanta and finish the day out. So I said, well, she's not going to come. She's going to be in bed all day, you know. And I done told Brother Daniel and fellowship there. And I says, well, I'll just leave you in bed and I'll have Mama to check on you. That's pretty bad, ain't it, when you think about it? Wow. But the testimony is I was feeling bad for leaving her. I said, man, I feel so bad. But, you know, what do you do? And about 10 o'clock, phone rings. I'm coming into Chattanooga. Phone rings, and it's her. And she sounds so-so. And I said, how you feel? She said, I feel a little better. You know, I'm praying the whole time. Lord, do something. I'm talking about, friends, she was sick as a dog. I hadn't seen her this sick. I mean, her sugar dropped in her. She couldn't see nothing. She was sick as a dog. And then she called me. It was about 2 o'clock. I'm still on the other side of Chattanooga. And I said, I'm trying to get back to Atlanta. She says, how you feel? She said, well, I'll be at the singing tonight. Every symptom she had, everything that she had, God took just like that and took it away. I was amazed. I thank God for that. I thank God for that. So may you just have faith and believe today. What you need, you take it home with you, and God, He'll supply it. Remember the scripture. I will be. Keep that in your mind. Friends at work. It's Jesus. You believe it? Love you. Appreciate you. God bless you. Brother Harry, would you sing something for us? Do you love to worship Him? Ain't nothing like worshiping Jesus, are they? Amen.
One night while on life's raging sea, looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the darkness of night closed off the light, my heart sank with me. My desperate cry rang out with fright. All I could see was no hope in sight. With faith all but gone, I met the one who came looking for me. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way that I could see. When I drifted so far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fear, free from all harm, since I met the one who came looking for me. Oh, Satan had already picked out my grave, planned to move forward to put me away. I drifted so far, would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? When I knew my destruction was a matter of time, but Jesus appeared and said, this one is mine. I'm safe from all harm. He walked through the storm. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. So far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fear. I'm safe from all harm since I've been.